Good evening and welcome to another episode of the C-List Villains, your cultivators of the comic culture. I'm your host, AJ. We've got Red in the building. Luke should be popping on in a bit, and E-Man is not going to be able to make it tonight. He's got some other things he's got to take care of. We'll probably have a short episode just because everyone's been busy today. But, you know, we still wanted to bring something out for you guys. How's it going, Red?
What up, everybody? I'm on location in my illustrious motel in Monterey, California. So, a lot of exciting news here where my blinds cannot close. So people will be watching me have a stream and probably soon be asleep. And people will be just looking at me through the door. It's going to be weird.
I mean, is it, what's it facing? Is it facing the street or the back?
It's facing the parking lot plus the stairs to go to the next floor up.
Okay, all right. So you can't get it to close at all, huh?
I tried. I think someone clipped off the string. Oh. So I'm just stuck with that. I'll take the blanket and put it on top of the window.
Oh, there you go. So you drove all the way from Manteca, Lathrop, all the way to Monterey?
All the way to Monterey. So I left around 6-ish. Yeah, 6. Got here by 8:10, just in time to get on the stream. But I didn't get to watch Ahsoka, so I was like, okay, it's at least I can be on the stream and listen to you guys review Ahsoka, but I guess it was only you that did Ahsoka.
Yeah, and you know what? To be honest with you, I was kind of rushing because I got home late from work, and then I had to eat dinner, and like, yeah, I kind of played it in the background while I was doing other stuff.
You didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah, I definitely think I need a second watch. What I saw, I liked, but I do want to watch it again. So okay, you don't have to talk about it tonight.
We'll save it. We'll save it for next Tuesday. We'll probably do a doubleheader on that one.
But I mean, the main thing we want to talk about is RCCC, man. How was it? How from your experience? Hopefully, Luke can get on. He can give us his experience. But I mean, give us almost a play-by-play of how your weekend went and all the highlights.
Oh, well, I left town Wednesday afternoon. Gotten into town by then. And you started sorting all the books and such and loaded up on the truck. So that's Wednesday night. Thursday morning is when when we had actual access to the convention floor, and then we were able to get everything done in one trip. Probably by mid-afternoon, where the booth was set up, the all the stuff was like ready to go as far as like the Wi-Fi. Petty cash needed to be, sorted. And we had to pick up Lawrence. Lawrence is the CEO of Comic Capsule. So we picked him up and he helped out as well. But in typical convention fashion, I mean, really, it was nice getting the actual venue and seeing how it's all being set up prior to all the people being there. It is so it's an experience. But all through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it would just sail. It was madness. And I think Luke had a pretty good return at around 29 grand for the weekend take.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we got to do a little bit of shopping, meet some people. We got Stan Sakai visited the booth on Friday, so we got our photos of Stan Sakai. And then Arthur Sweetum also visited us. And then Saturday we had a photo op with Zoe Saldana and Karen Gallan as a trio. So it was Luke, Lawrence, and I, and then the two ladies. So they were holding the comic capsule. So they smelled nice. They smelled very nice. Karen is very, very tall.
Okay, I'm looking at the picture right now.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a flash in one of the capsules got saturated with the flash, but otherwise we could digitally edit that and put another face on it. And then Sunday we were just pushing books out the door. I was giving free books to little kids. Every person that went to the booth, Luke didn't let them leave without having a deal. So he was clearing out everything.
So I got to ask, how many boxes did you – I know, because I'm pretty sure you replenished throughout the weekend, right?
No, we only replenished once, but there was only three short boxes. We brought roughly 200 longs and shorts.
And how many – at the end of the weekend did you – how many was left?
I think we cleared out at least after consolidating everything, about 25 shorts were – We're already sold.
So nice.
Plus maybe two dozen slabs got sold. Because we were marking them down 50 per slab or buy two, get one free. I sold a box of vintage video game posters and comics posters from the 90s. I sold it to a kid. $10. It was like roughly 100 posters, all rolled up, all used posters. But yeah, the kid was already carrying the poster tube. Like, all right, let me sell to this kid, because we couldn't sell him the first day. We didn't want to take it home.
Yeah. So he picked them all up, huh?
Yeah. Well, after one other guy picked up the good ones, but still, it was just more stuff to get rid of.
Did you get to do any like con walking, or were you just strictly at the booth pretty much the whole time?
95% of the time I was at the booth, and then the other 5% I was either taking a shit.
Okay. Getting food. Okay, so you didn't really get to explore the con at all.
No. Sunday probably I did like 20 minutes, and I picked up a couple pieces of original Japanese art and
oh shit, okay.
And that, what do you call it? And probably one signature by Stan Sakai, and that's it.
Well, I'm interested in the Japanese art. So, who was the artist, and what did you pick up?
I'm not sure who the artist was, because I don't have it with me. But it's on acrylic. It's on like a thick ass quarter acrylic, about roughly the size of the TV. So about four pieces of that, and it's like. I guess if you give it a backlight, that the shit will glow. I'll take photos of it. I'll put it on my social. I'll send it to you guys.
That sounds like it was pretty. It would have been difficult to.
It was
to bring back with you.
It was. Luckily, it fit in the overhead container, the overhead bin on the plane.
Yeah.
But it was the bag. I double bagged it right with the it's from the B1. Some shit, that company, but the bag was screaming between the terminal and the parking lot. So,
oh man,
it survived.
Okay, so I know that Luke, you guys had a lot of long boxes, short boxes. Was there any treasures that were found that you know?
Oh, yeah, not even when the doors had opened for the general public, one of the vendors had grabbed our set of Iron Man 1 through 5, mid grade, out the door, $900. That started out pretty well.
Nice. Yeah.
And then and throughout the day there was Secret Wars 8. There was first I can't remember the other ones, but there were hundreds and hundreds of keys within the box.
Within the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, so people were buying. We also had a Rick and Morty set that he was letting go for X amount of dollars, because you're just basically paying for the number one, and you're getting the rest of the set plus the doubles for free with that.
Yeah. What's going on, Luke?
Hey, guys. What's up?
He sold a couple common capsules as well.
Red's give us his experience, his recap of
Rose City.
Rose City, yeah. But I'm interested in, and you, the big seller over here. How was it? How was your experience? Are you pooped out right now?
Okay, I started working out mid July to get ready for this Comic Con.
Okay,
I'm not kidding.
Physically, mentally.
Hour a day I've been working out. I dropped 15 pounds. I stopped drinking for the month of September. I really was preparing mentally and physically for the marathon. And it worked. I had the energy. Nice. I wasn't tired at the end of the day. I felt good. It was a good show. And we killed our number. We beat last year's goal by about 20%. So
nice. That's always good. Yeah.
I didn't let anybody leave the booth without making a deal. If someone's like, "Oh man, I only got 20 bucks," I'm like, "Well, all right, let's work it out, baby." You know, one guy was like, "Dude, there's a, you know, I'll see you in a couple weeks at this next show. Hit me up then." He's like, "What?" I was like, "Yeah. I got you. Your name's Gabriel. Let me give you all these comics you want for your wife. I'll see you in a couple weeks at this show. You hook me up with something."
Right. Oh, yeah. That was at least 50 or 30 books of ElfQuest that we couldn't get rid of from last year.
Yeah, we've been carrying those around for like 3 years. I was like, take them.
Get rid of them. Gotta go.
The biggest score of the whole week is the Stan Sakai watercolor.
Nice.
Future published piece. It's already in the queue for him. Said it's the first one he sold in 10 years. First watercolor he sold in 10 years off his booth. And it wasn't priced when he brought it. And I was like, give me right of first refusal, baby.
Do you want to? I mean, no, I don't even want to ask. So
you can ask. There's no secrets with me.
Do you want to reveal how much you had to pay for it?
Yeah, I $900.
Oh wow, I was okay. I was expecting around $1,200-$1,500 range. So
was I. I was expecting him to bring $1,500. His black and whites, and you've been to his booth. You know those black and whites. Which he does about 10 every 3 months. He releases those black and white sketches, right? He's asking about $750 for those. So when he said $900 for the watercolor that he hasn't released in 10 years, I was like, dog.
Yeah.
It's no brainer.
Damn, that's a good pickup, man, for sure.
Great pickup. And he got the box of Destiny all finished up too. The box and the first placard from the first year we did the convention. So Adam Hughes.
So Red, I just found out that Stephen Platt is going to be at San Francisco Fan Expo. He's like coming out of Hermitage. To do a con.
It feels like he's slowly, like, I'm starting to see every so often something published, and it seems like maybe, I don't know what is making him want to start coming out, but
I know.
Slowly but surely, there's been a couple new pieces as far as, like, variant covers, so,
dude.
I don't know.
So do I bring the Box of Destiny? Because the Box of Destiny's mythos grows. I had my buddy Kellen walking around with it. He got Schmalky to like do this airbrush spawn.
Oh, nice.
He's crazy. He got Sweetum, Arthur Sweetum. He got a few other guys. So yeah, the mythos grows a grow. So to add Stephen Platt, maybe right there. I need to get Todd McFarlane. He's my other big get I need to find.
What are you at some point, are you gonna cut that up? So that you can, like, I don't know, hang it somewhere. Yeah.
The box of destiny. It's not the pieces of box of a destiny. It's the box.
Well, flatten it out. That way you can frame it.
Yeah, flatten it out.
No, it will always stay a short box, comic short box.
Okay. All right.
It will stay the short box of Destiny. So, no, it's never getting cut up. Come on, Neil Adams signed for free. Everyone that's signed this box has signed it for free except for Keith Tucker.
Who's Keith Tucker?
The Animaniacs storyboardist. He charged me $20 for that.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm not familiar with that name.
Everyone else did it for free, and he's like, $20. I was like, whatever.
That's a pretty huge piece, and probably well worth the money.
Miss So says you both look tired.
Yeah, I'm totally tired. I slept for 16 hours straight.
Oh shit, damn.
Not straight. I woke up, got the kids fed, dressed, ready for school, off to school. And then at like 10 a.m. I fell asleep, woke back up at 2 o'clock. I was like, oh crap.
How are you feeling, right? You're pretty tired. I know you had to drive 2 hours too, but
yeah, I took Monday off. I fell asleep as soon as I got home around noon, and then went to work this morning, and then drove here to Monterey, which is 2 hours away from home. After I got off, so I was like, okay, I got an 8 a.m. meeting, and I'll go home and just take the rest of the day off after that on Wednesday.
Let me ask you something then. The tiredness, you know how like we've gone to San Diego, right? And after a day, we're tired. What describe the type of tired working a booth? Like, how is that different than like being at the con as a attendee?
Oh, it's just more mental than physical. I mean, you're lifting boxes, but you're not really walking around like we do at San Diego, right?
Yeah. So,
but majority of the time, it's just you watching people, see what they're getting. They're asking you questions, and you go look for books for them, or they have other questions.
Oh, no. Red, did you get cut off? Oh, man. I think Red got cut off. Well, what about you, Luke? I mean, what's the difference between the tiredness, I guess, between attendee and running a booth?
I think when you're there, like as an attendee, you kind of, I don't know, it's just different because you see how the sausage is made, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so you get to like stay, like Red and I, for 3 years now, we walk the floor after we wait till everybody's gone and we walk the whole floor and we look for random shit. And so I found this. Check this out. This is cool. Signed by David Mack. It's one of his prints that he must have just like dropped.
Oh, man.
That's cool. Eight
rules. Is that Sandman?
Sandman, yeah. Okay. Or that's Neil Gaiman. That's Neil Gaiman.
Oh, okay.
Neil Gaiman looks like Sandman.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was like, wait a minute. That's Neil Gaiman? I mean, that looks like Sandman to me.
I know, yeah. This is actually some cool shit right here. David Mack's little
doodle. Oh, is signing time
panel doodle, and that's a hero right there. Original art. his placard. I might take him to get to sign that tomorrow. He's doing a local signing at a shop. Got Adam Hughes one with this is Adam Hughes ink blot paper.
Nice. Which,
that's kind of just random and cool, right? Adam Hughes.
Yeah, ink, yeah, blot. Yeah.
If you're an artist fan, that's some cool shit. What's some other? Oh, I gotta show you this. This is hilarious. Where? Oh, yeah. Okay. So an artist, like they throw all the tablecloths away. They rip them off and toss them. So, like, we found an artist who doodled on the tablecloth. Check that out.
Oh, dude. Daredevil?
A sick Daredevil. And then, like, this guy. I don't know. Do you recognize that guy?
No,
I don't know.
Do you know who the artist is?
We took the booth. It was... Oh, I got Stan Sekai's artist thing. Craig Hurd McKinney. I don't know. From Headless Shakespeare Press. But he's kind of a sick artist.
With that. Yeah, I like that Daredevil for sure.
The Daredevil's kind of cool, huh?
Yeah.
That was cool. Stan Sekai literally just left his guest pass on his table.
Oh, nice.
So I snagged it. He just left it. I was dying. I was like, so it's funny the stuff you find at the end of a convention.
Yeah, it's like cool little swag stuff that, like, you know, like if you ever want to get that signed by Stan, right? That pass.
I know. Yeah, Luke cleaning up. You know Crunchyroll, the anime?
Yeah.
They left probably a pallet worth of free swag. Like lanyards, posters, giveaways, all this shit. And so vendors were just and the workers were like, they were like, we hate it when companies do this because it's just work for us. We have to pick it up and put it in the dumpster.
Oh, damn.
Like, they don't care.
Yeah.
This is like a guy making like $20 an hour, like sweeping the floor, you know? He doesn't care about a box of Crunchyroll lanyards.
Yeah.
So I grabbed a bunch of lanyards. If anyone actually hit me up, anyone wants one of these lanyards? I'm not kidding. I got probably 300 of these.
Oh, damn.
Any of our listeners, watchers, viewers, Crunchyroll lanyard. It's a little fox, cute little fox. I'll send it to you.
There you go.
I got like 1,000 of these. So it's kind of cute.
Yeah. Damn, they had like, I mean, you grabbed maybe 1,000. Who knows how many more that.
Oh, there were two cases of these. And my buddy who owns a shop grabbed one case. Inside that case, there was probably 20,000. And there was like a pallet of these. I'm like, damn, Crunchyroll, be a little conservative, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely don't want that wasted.
It's just landfill fodder if no one takes it, so. All right, slum boards. Yeah, let me know. If anyone wants one, just message us. And I'll mail it out to you free of charge, courtesy of the Sealess Villains podcast.
All right. Red just texts us. It looks like hotel Wi-Fi died, so I don't know if he's going to be able to jump back on, which is fine. I think we're going to have a short episode either way.
Crunchyroll. I've never been on – have you used Crunchyroll?
I've used their – yeah. I mean, they've got a lot of anime. So, I mean, I have used it before, but I don't have a subscription right now. I know that they give out free ones every so often, like a trial.
Totally. Of course, the biggest cosplay of the convention, you can probably guess. The biggest live-action anime.
Oh, One Piece?
Yep.
So there's biggest, a lot of One Piece, huh?
Biggest cosplay of the convention, really? By far. Everybody, even my buddy Kellen, who helped with the booth, he brought his son, who's in fourth grade, and he's just like, One Piece. He knew all the characters' names. He knew everything. One Piece has struck a fucking chord. It's awesome.
And they just got renewed for season two, so.
Dude, it's become a cultural phenomenon with the kids.
Yeah, you know, I've watched about two or three episodes of the Netflix show. I'm not going to lie. I have not watched the anime just because there's thousands of episodes and there's no way I'm going to watch all of that. But the show, the Netflix show isn't that bad.
Yeah, it's good. And apparently people are like the anime itself is like one of the best ever. So
Yeah. My question is this. Are they going to try and finish this? Are they going to like get to a point? Like, are they going to try and finish the anime as far as the live action?
That's what they say. They say they want to try and do 12 seasons of live action. But I'm like, that's ambitious.
Yeah. And those actors, I mean, I don't know how well they're going to age.
Dude, let's be honest. 12 years from now, Netflix is going to be Net Prime. Like, it's not going to be like Prime and Netflix are going to merge with HBO Max. And there's going to be like two streaming giants.
Yeah.
And Disney Plus is going to be like, they're going to merge with Apple
and Hulu, right?
Yeah. Everyone's going to merge. And the antitrust laws of America are going to like be voted out. They're going to be like, that doesn't work anymore. And like, we're going to be filling up our cars with Apple TV electricity. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So no Chainsaw Man there? Well, yeah. Was there any Chainsaw Man?
Yes. Actually, my buddy who helped with my booth was Chainsaw Man. There were Chainsaw Man.
Oh, nice. That's a good anime too, actually. Yeah.
That's a good
one. Do you have any pictures of how he looked?
Not of the hat, because he kept taking it on and off, because I think it was kind of hard to keep. It was like fall forward. It's hard to balance it.
Yeah, it seemed pretty cumbersome, right?
Yeah, it's a really cumbersome cosplay, because it's just like a normal outfit, and then I tried putting the helmet on, and it just like would fall forward. Like, you kind of have like a strap or something, like a chest piece holding the back.
So are you gonna do any? So I know RCC is the biggest one. Are there any other local ones that you try and do?
Wizard comes to town. Fan Expo does come to Portland. But honestly, this might have been my last year. Red and I talked about it, and we're just like, it feels good at three. Like, three seasons of a TV show feels good. It feels like, you know what I mean? Three championships.
Yeah.
We went out on a high note. I don't know if we could match this year. We did so, like, other vendors were like I would look at different keys on their wall. You know what I mean? And then I would like kind of walk by and glance. And like from Friday to Sunday, all of them were still there.
Yeah, because they were trying to get the fair market value, right? Whereas you're discounting it 20-30% at least, I'm assuming.
No. I would be like, this is a $100 book, give me $20.
Wow.
But I can do that because I can buy these big, huge,
yeah, because of volume. Yeah.
Yeah. So like I only have like 10 cents into the book. Right?
Yeah.
So like I wouldn't even look at, and I wish more vendors would kind of have that idea of like, I'm not gonna try and like squeeze every penny I can out of this. Like, let's make it fun. And so there would be like, I don't think there was ever any less than 8 people at the booth. 8 people at all times. We averaged a sale every 90 seconds. I like counted it up.
Nice. But let me ask you this then. So I'm assuming there are vendors that were sifting through your boxes like maybe before the show or after the show, right?
Totally. And I loved it. I welcomed it.
So if you knew that, so you didn't care if they bought it from you and then they immediately put it up on their wall for whatever price.
Not at all. But like, so for example, I had like an Iron Man run 1-21. Beautiful run. I wanted $1,000 for it, right?
Right.
So a vendor comes up and he's like, hey man, will you take, you take $500? And I was like, I was like, listen, if it's still here Sunday, you got it for 500. But if you want it right now, you know, you got to give me like 900. I'd do 900.
Right.
Maybe like 800 cash. I'd be like, on this, for this time, 900 cash. And they'd be like, okay. So I get that. Yeah, I'll work them a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm not going to be punked.
Yeah, I know. Because you know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to get – you're trying to give customers a great deal, not really so much the vendors, because you know that they're just going to put it up, right?
Yeah, and he did. He went back and he relisted it for more. But I checked back Sunday afternoon. He's still at there.
He still had it, yeah.
I was dying. Yeah, WizardCon's still around, Miss. Oh, it's still around. I think it's, yeah, no, Fan Expo. That's what it's called now, Fan Expo. You're right. They bought them out.
You were mentioning San Francisco Fan Expo. When is that?
Right after Thanksgiving. Dude, you got to cut Mark Hamill. Let's all go in on it. It's $1,000, but you can split it four ways. So, dude.
Picture with him?
Picture, reserve seating at the panel, signed picture, signed episode 4 OG picture of him.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, if I go, I'll consider going. If I go, I'll you know, look.
Dude, so far, Red and me and Lawrence are in for the weekend. E-Man is there for one day because he got his babies. He's taken care of. But last year we stayed at a haunted hotel and it was creepy, but it was kind of fun because it was like an experience and it was only $40 a night. I'm not even kidding, $40 a night next to the fucking convention center in downtown San Francisco.
Wait, how is it? How was it haunted though?
It's just like you walk out and it's like an old Victorian style, non-upgraded hotel. Like everything's still Victorian, like the carpet. Like the trim, like the light bulbs are like going in and out. Straight like Resident Evil. Like I went down to the basement to get a water out of the vending machine. And like this huge door, like on like roller wheels, like opens like 2 inches, like, and like you see like an eyeball peering out, like watching me at the vending machine. It's insane, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And I get the water and it's like stone cold warm, like it's not cold at all.
Oh man, and is that the same one? So you guys all stayed there?
Yeah, yep. $40 a night because nobody wants to stay there. I think it's just like some nice old like family running it and they just like don't want to upgrade.
Yeah, and you would think that like that hotel, I mean, that's prime real estate right there, you know?
Dude, like the toilets are separate from the rooms. They're like a little separate little toilet room in the hallway.
So is it almost like a hostel in a way?
No, you have like your own room with a shower in it, but the toilet is in like a separate little thing.
But is it a shared toilet with like other...
Yeah. Anyone can use it on that floor. But like Red and I shared a room. It's like it's not even like queens, it's like singles. Like
a twin.
No, like not even a twin, like 36 inches wide, like that wide.
Oh man. Hey, whatever works, you know. It's not like you guys gonna be there. Yeah.
I dropped like 4 sleep aids, you know, like those Costco sleep aids. I was like, oh, just passed out for 8 hours, woke up.
All right. Yeah, I'll look.
See the windows are open. It's like the sirens are going by. The guy taking a shit on the sidewalk. You can hear him grunting. Like,
oh, man. Well, at least it's like in the winter fall time, so it's not going to be hot.
That's the thing. And then like the four, you look across the street, the Four Seasons is right there. You're like, why did I do the one? But then the Four Seasons, you're going to drop like $200 a night. So it's like, do I want money on the hotel or on art at the convention?
Yeah. All right. Well, it doesn't look like Red's going to get back on. I'm pretty sure you've got to get some stuff to get done tonight, right? I know you're tired. You want to get some rest. Anything else you want to throw out there for our listeners?
Dude, it was a great convention. It was, you know what, man? You know how many people came up and were like, Silas Villains? I'm not
even kidding.
Dude, probably like 25, 30 people came up.
That and, you guys do not know at all.
Zero knowledge. And they're like, man, you guys are Silas Villains. We listen to your podcast. I'm like, fuck, this is awesome. Like, why don't you like comment on our videos or like say something?
Yeah, that's very cool. You were there, yeah.
You bought something from me or something. Comment on the shit. But we are out there. We're in the ethosphere. We are out there.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was cool. It was really cool. Because well, Red, one day he wore the Silas Villains, and then like this, like people were just like, wait a minute. Are you guys Silas Villains? I'm like, yes. Like, I listen to your podcast.
Well, I'm glad that
not everyone watches the YouTube. Most people listen to the podcast.
Oh, we're still on the podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I just thought we were on the YouTube. I didn't know that we're still putting it out on the podcast on iTunes. Well, that's good to know then. Well, I got nothing else. I know this was going to be heavily focused on you and Red's experience at RCCC. Red, unfortunately, doesn't look like he'll get back on. Luke, I'm really happy you had a great time. And
we just got to all try and make a meetup at some point, somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. So wait, so this is it. For sure. This was it. This is the three-peat and you're done?
Not for sure. And if I can get another big collection, 100 box collection, you know what I mean?
100 yeah,
box
yeah.
collection, then I can. I'm not going to return just with the same shit. It's got to be some new.
Gotcha. That makes sense. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So if I can find another storage locker or something to bring there, we'll do it again. But it's so much work. Oh, my gosh.
No, I can imagine. Yeah. So all that was accumulated, but that's pretty much all new boxes accumulated from this past year then.
Year, 2 years for sure, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you got to sell out most of it because, I mean, it'd be a pain after the whole weekend to bring it all back.
Well, we sold probably about 10,000 comics. But we brought probably 25,000. So, you know, we probably brought back 15,000. Probably about a little more than half the load we brought back.
Right. Okay. All right.
And I offered it to the dealer. I was like, dude, buy me out. I would have given it to him for a deal. Nobody wanted it. Nobody wanted to.
And there were still – you think there were still gems in there that were not found?
Clone Wars 1, 2 copies of Clone Wars 1, 3 or 4 short boxes full of Dark Horse Star Wars, you know what I mean? A box full of old Gold Key stuff from the 50s and 60s. And yeah, man, there's some great stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, give me $20 a box. And they were like, we don't want to carry it. I'm like, listen, if I carry this back to my fucking house, it's not going to be $20 a box. It's going to be $50 a box.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad, again, like I said, that you had a good time. Hopefully, you can – I mean, whether or not you want to do it, I hope that if you plan to do it next year, it's going to be brand new collection. So
brand new merchandise, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll know by July. They need to know by July, but – ooh, the three – it's hard to come back in four-peat. Three, but if you do a three-peat, you can – you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bow out. No one's going to – but there were probably 90% return customers from last year that they were like, yes, you're back.
Did – who's that one comic book guy, comic
– Comic Tom?
Yeah, was because didn't he visit your booth last year?
Yeah, he bought a shitload. He bought like $1,200 from me. No, he wasn't even there at all.
Oh, okay. All right.
He wasn't there at all. There were no, in terms of comic creators, Stan Sakai was the biggest draw, I feel like. Him, David Mack, Adam Hughes. But you know what? Like, Adam Hughes had his, like, blank sketch covers, and they just weren't selling. But, you know, like, he's selling, like, a blank sketch cover for, like, $3,500.
Yeah. You know what? I love it, and it, I know that, like, he does his quick sketches, the side view with the eyes closed. I would pay, I mean, I don't know how much he charges for that, but I would at least inquire, like, especially, it sounds like this con might have been a little slow for him. I mean, I don't know if maybe
he was at, for those, he was at $750. And I was like, that's, you know, put it in like $400.
Yeah, wait, so the one that we always see, the side view with the eyes closed, is $750?
$750.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know it was that much.
And the elaborate ones, there was one, dude, there was like a fucking like Scarlet Witch with like the Adam Hughes heavy bosom.
Yeah.
For $3,500. And it was tempting. But I was like, dude, $3,500 for a sketch cover. You got to be like all in on that.
Yeah. Cause that's at least, you know, you could get that. Like, there's pages that you can buy that are cheaper from known artists. Yeah.
Well, like this is gonna be a published piece for $900, right?
Yeah, exactly.
David Mack had a published cover for $2,500. It was like a skull with like sick art. It was that was tempting. Then my son was like, "Dad, it's just another thing." And I was like, "Holy shit, the wisdom for the 14-year-old!" Like.
Does your 14-year-old, is he into this stuff?
Yeah, he went and got this all done for me. This was an exclusive from David Mack.
Oh, nice.
So he went, Stan Sakai did that remark, and then David Mack did that remark.
Wait, let me see the Stan Sakai remark.
See, Stan, I'm bummed because his daughter didn't tell him it was a remark until after, because he did the SIG only, and he's like, "Oh, it's a remark. Shoot, I would have done the remark in the white."
Yeah, because I could barely see it, but I see it now.
I know it's in there, right? But the David Mack one, SIG, free. He did it for my son for free.
Does he understand like the value of like the original art and like as investment purposes and that it can potentially go up in value and things like that?
Yeah, but he kind of doesn't like it. He's like, well, if you don't like it, don't buy it.
Right.
And I got like this type of, like this one's cool.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
This was like a toy poster that super instance that guy did that. Pretty cool. I got a bunch.
You know, I've been thinking, because I have a couple Stan Sakai books, and I think the next time I see him, I'm just going to go all in and get remarks on all of them, just because, you know, he's getting up there in age, and I don't know how many years he's going to want to keep doing cons. I mean, every time I see him, he seems pretty spry and, like, you know,
dude, he's youthful. So cool. Okay, check it out. Day one, I go to his booth. And it's like an hour before the con opens. And I'm like, "Mr. Sakai," I'm wearing the Usagi shirt, Year of Usagi. I'm like, "Mr. Sakai, it's such an honor to have you here. My booth's right there. I have like a ton of your comics to sell. Whatever you need. I'm just so happy you're here." I was like, "Can I take a picture with you?" And he's like, "Of course. Thank you so much." He's like, "Here, let's stand in front of my banner." And so we like took like pictures, and he's like, "Okay, now look this way. Now look this way." He's like, "Is that good? Check the pictures." He's like calling his wife over. "Okay, sure, they're good. Okay, look at them. You like them?" And then like 10 minutes later, he comes to my booth. And he like hangs out for like, I'm not even kidding, like 15 minutes. And we're all like taking selfies with him. He's like talking, and like Albedo too. And like, he had one, he has like, he's like, yeah, I have like a box of those at home that I'm just kind of holding on to. I don't know. Of nice. Usagi, you know what I mean? He's such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
He's like what you think about him, and then like times 10 cooler than that.
Is he your favorite comic creator?
I think so. I'm going to just say that. He's my favorite comic creator.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I get that vibe. I know we've never really discussed that before, but I'm getting the vibe of, you know, how much you, you know, love his art and love his work. So
I respect the hell out of him. He's like a lot of guys, Kevin Eastman. He's like my Kevin Eastman.
Gotcha. Yeah.
A lot of people are like all in on Kevin Eastman. I'm in all in on Stan Sakai.
Very cool. All right.
Luke, and Jim Lee. Him and Jim Lee.
Yeah. Jim Lee, I would. You know what? I can't really say who my favorite comic creator is. I think at some point I think that's a good topic for all of us. We know yours.
And Tom McFarlane, but you can't. And Tom McFarlane is so inaccessible. Like, you know what I mean? If he had a booth there, it'd be like rock star status. Like, you couldn't talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he would be cool. It's just he'd be like, dude, 50,000 people want to see me. Like, I can't spend time with you. I apologize.
Yeah. Even though, like, he does try to, like, when he does those signings, he does try to talk to everyone. Then his handlers tell him he's got to get going with just signing.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, Mignola actually stiffed my daughter. My daughter was the last one in line to get the Box of Destiny sign, and Mignola totally dipped.
Wait, that was this weekend? He was there?
Yeah. He was there for 45 minutes, and my daughter was at the 46th minute, and the second that 45-minute hit, Mignola fucking dipped.
He was there for one day for 45 minutes.
Yep, for one panel at Dark Horse, and he did a free signing at the Dark Horse booth for 45 minutes, and the second that 45-minute hit, he fucking got up and left. Just got up, and my daughter was literally next in line, an 11-year-old girl, and he dipped. Oh.
Sorry about that, man.
He didn't give a fuck.
What did your daughter say? Or did she not care? She was like, whatever.
She doesn't care. She's just an 11-year-old kid, just like wanting to get a little thing signed. She's just like, oh, he left. Oh, wow. It doesn't register with her, you know? But I'm like, wow. Like, bro, like, you are not, like, you're not A-list comic creator status. You are B-list, okay? You're not, Mike Mignola is not on the A-list. I'm sorry. And he acted like he was just like the hottest shit ever and just got up and dipped. Or he might have had to take a shit.
He might have we never know, but yeah.
He might have been holding diarrhea and just been like, you know what, I'm fucking out, man. Just peace.
Well, I mean,
dude, fuck you, Mike Pignola, for dipping out on an 11-year-old girl.
Were you hoping to get like a little Hellboy little head sketch too, or just a signature?
Dude, something, because he signed all these fucking 40-year-old men's pops, but then on an 11-year-old girl is right at the end of the line. He's like, nope, I'm out.
Okay.
So S. Bing was still there, and so he signed it, and another guy signed it. That was fine.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
No, man. It's all good.
Mike Mignola, fuck him. I don't care. If I ever see about selling tip too, fuck you, man. You left an 11-year-old girl to learn, man. Fuck you. He's gonna be like, dude, I didn't know. I was only scheduled for 45 minutes. You're only here because of the fans, man. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Tom McFarlane would have never done that. He would have stayed until the, you know what I mean?
That, I mean, to Tom McFarlane's credit, yes. I've witnessed it. convention's closing, and he's like, I'm signing all of theirs. He'll tell security, I'm like, signing all of theirs.
My fans are my life. He loves his fans.
Yeah.
Loves his fans. Mike Mignola only loves, I think he loves his, he could just be the introverted artist, you know, just wanted to.
Yeah.
But then all these like old dude, all these old guys like myself are kind of, look at Mike Mignola's signature. I'm like, fuck off, man.
Any highlights or lowlights from the con then?
Dude, speaking of this, check this out. This is a Mike Mignola from San Diego Comic-Con 1998.
Oh, there you go. I mean, how'd you get that?
Lobster Johnson.
Who's that? I don't even know who
You know, one of the Hellboy.
I don't read Hellboy.
Hellboy characters. I bought these boards off a guy, 25 bucks each, and they're all from the 1990s San Diego Comic-Con, and different people sign them. There's Art Adams from
1998. Damn.
These are fucking kind of cool. There's some cool shit from the 90s. Back when people would do this shit for free. There's another one. Look at all these creators. Bob Burden did that one in 99. Weird, just weird stuff. Back when Comic-Con was about just only comics.
Who's Bob Burden?
Dude, I got no idea.
Okay, you said it with so much confidence, like you knew who he was. So I'm like, oh, I don't know who that is.
It's like Bob Burden, my favorite artist. Of all time. It looks like Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah,
Hitchcock, motherfucker. Dude, Rick Geary. Dude, this is why I tell guys like that get all in on cover artists now. I'm like, do you guys fucking realize that Rick Geary was the John Jang of his day? And now nobody knows his name. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Freaking Bob Burden was the Aaron Bartling of his day, and now nobody knows his name. You know, it's just like, come they go.
So what do you think? Okay, since before we leave, how long does a creator need to be in the business to be remembered, you think?
20 years.
20?
20 years. Two decades. Two cycles. If they're in for two cycles, but then their longevity is only going to last probably double that past them. So maybe 40 years until they're forgotten. So a guy like Mark Bagley, who's been in it since like the mid-80s, he's still going.
Yeah.
Or like Jim Lee. Jim Lee's been in it since the mid-80s. The guys who have been in it since the mid-80s who are still going today, that's a solid like 30, 40 years. Like that guy's legacy is going to last 80 years from now probably.
Yeah, yeah. So not to devalue – you know, our former guests, you know, like John Jang, Aaron Bartling, John Boy Myers, you think like they got to be in the game 20 years to at least get at least for the next generation to know who they are.
Absolutely. They got to stick with it for 20 years at least, which John Boy has been doing it for, I think this is like his 14th or 15th year. And John Jang, similar. Bartling, this is only like his third year, so he's got a long ways to go.
So what do you think about, what do you think about like,
if Aaron Bartling ended today, a year from now, people would forget about it, wouldn't even remember his name.
And unfortunately, you know, that's just the nature of this comic book collecting hobby.
It's vicious. So that's why he's got to stick with it. He's got a true gift and he's got to stick with it for sure.
So what do you think about Peach then? Because like she's like the hot shit right now, and she's been her run has been pretty spectacular the last 2 years, right?
Okay, a year ago, it felt like she was slowing down, but then all of a sudden, like in the past month or two, I feel like there's been this huge kind of like resurgence, and it's awesome. Because it's kind of moved from the exclusive crowd. Because, like, she doesn't really do exclusives anymore. She's in, like, the mainline Marvel now.
Yeah. And I think it helped that she wrote and drew her own Marvel comics.
Yeah, Demon Days. And Disney's using her for, like, artist workshops in Paris. And flying her around the world to do, like, Disney exposés and workshops, and she's becoming like this cultural figure.
Yeah.
And she's been doing it for a while. Like, I think she's just about at the 10-year mark. So,
yeah.
You know,
she may even, I mean, if I didn't know all that other stuff, but if that's the case, it may come to a point where she's not just like a comic artist, but just an artist that everyone knows.
I really feel like her shit is gonna be considered like actual like fine art, and that's why like stuff like this that I got from her back when her commissions were only $500, and I was like, Peach, what would $1,000 get me? She's like, what? She like had never done $1,000 commission. I'm not even kidding. I'm like, I'll give you $1,000 to go insane on a Spider-Man. And that's what she did. I hope this gets published one day because it's so sick. Because she doesn't do details like this anymore. Have you noticed that? She just does very simple work now.
Yeah.
The detail is gone. Like this type of work, type of line work. She spent 3 months on this piece. 3 months. She would send me updates like every like 3 or 4 weeks. She'd be like, hey Luke, I came back to it, and I'm like kind of working it. I'm like, holy shit.
Nice. I told you about my commission from her, right?
No, I've never seen it.
Yeah, so I mean, quick long story short, I had her draw a character from one of my very favorite comic books, Deadly Class. But it was on a Spider-Man comic, right? But the character was from an Image comic, and I said, can you add somewhere a Spider-Man on there? So on the sword, she drew like a little Spider-Man keychain type of thing. Anyways, I had Rick Remender sign the book because it was a character that he created on his comic. Yeah. And then he had asked me to send him a picture of it, right? Because he wanted to put it in there. You know, like you have at the back of like the comic books, they'll be like,
Yeah.
So when I sent it to them, and then they put it on the back of one of the issues for Deadly Class, it had art using my name, and I'm like, no, I didn't draw it. So
Wait, you have it? You have the art?
Yeah.
In your possession?
Yeah.
But like that is, oh my.
And I emailed them back. I said, hey, this is not my art. I just got this piece from Peach Momoko, but they never followed up on it. And I'm like, I even told them before, I told Peach and his husband, her husband, like, hey, I just want to let you know that this.
Dude, but this Japanese, bro, you shouldn't have even told them. Now they freaking have all. That's why they never did our podcast, AJ. Why didn't you tell me this? Oh
my God. I told them, and they said it's okay. Like, no, so no, there's. Okay.
They're Japanese. Their honor has been taken. Oh my
God. But I mean, I tried to explain.
No, it doesn't matter. The honor has been. He brought shame upon the house.
I thought I had told the story already.
You never told that story yet.
Yeah, so there's a if anyone who reads Deadly Class, there's in one of the issues.
What issue?
You got. I can't. I'd have to look back on all the issues, but I'll look back on it.
Find that issue and just be like, you gotta like do the like bow before the emperor.
You know what? I can probably find it if I have the. I'm pretty sure my email still has the sent email.
Dude, you gotta find. I need to see that piece. I've never seen it. You've never shown it.
No? Okay.
Have you bought any art recently? Original art?
No, I haven't. I haven't recently. Even at San Diego, I didn't buy anything.
I know, and I'm so. I should have. Stan Sakai had Usagi Yojimbo fishing from a log. He had it there. I should have had you buy it. It was like $400. I love that piece.
I'll tell you what. I'll try to do some research for next week. I'll bring the original or not the cover that I had her do, and then I'll try to find the issue.
Yes,
in Deadly Class. Yeah. So it's in the back of like you know the fan page of fan art or whatever you know.
Oh my gosh! So technically, it has been published.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. In that sense, yeah. But they messed up, and they have my name on there. And I'm like, I told them, hey, it's not my – I didn't do it. I didn't draw it. Rick Remender wanted me to send him that picture because he loved it so much. So I sent him I said, hey, this is the art that you signed on the cover, and this is the artist. And somehow they put my name on there. So I'm putting it out there. If you see a Deadly Class, the back of the page, with art that looks like Peaches, but it has a different name, that's Peaches and not the name that you see on there.
Not AJ's.
Yeah.
Wait, what did they use, AJ or Anthony?
They used Anthony, yeah.
It's, okay.
Yeah. But they use my full name, and I'm just like, man, that's not me. And I had a friend who read Deadly Class, and he messaged me. He's like, "What's this all about,
dude? What the fuck is that? Are we gonna get is Deadly Class done?"
No, it's done. Yeah, it's done.
Because they fucked that up, the big time with the.
It should have gone to Netflix.
Yeah, that was messed up, man. I still never even watched it. I love the comic, but the show, I just never could. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah. Next week, if you remind me, I will. I'll look for the issue that it's on.
All right, man, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Hey, stay tuned. Hey, and if you want a Crunchyroll lanyard, message us. I'll send one out to you.
Yeah. All right, guys. I think Luke and I are done for the night. Make sure you follow us on all our social medias, and we'll be back next Tuesday, guys. Peace out. Peace.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of the Sealess Villains Podcast, your cultivators of the comic culture. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and email us at sealessvillains@gmail.com. You can also leave us a voicemail or text us at 209-975-7597. Be sure to join Luke Week's Facebook group, Rare Keys and First Appearance Comics. And you can follow us on our two Instagram accounts, Sealess Villains and Sealess Villains Podcast. Lastly, follow the villains on their separate IG accounts at Luke Weeks, at C-List Villainous Red, at C-List E-Man, and I am at AJ the Comic Collector. Thanks for listening, and we'll see